Welcome to Torat Imecha Nach Yomi with the OU Women's Initiative. My name is Stacey Nechama Goldman, and today we will be studying Sefer Nehemiah Perek Yud Gimel. The final Perek of Nehemiah serves as a disappointing epilogue to all he accomplished in the first 12 Perekim. We can discern from the Psukim that Nehemiah spent a total of 12 years in Yerushalayim before the king summoned him back to return to his role as chief cupbearer. After 1 year, 13 years since he first heard of the disastrous state of the walls of Yerushalayim and its people, he asked permission to go back. This is an account of what he saw upon his return and how he responded. The Perek opens with a public reading from the Book of Devarim. The first two psukim are a paraphrase of Perek Kaf Gimel, psukim Dalet through Hey, and Parshat Ki Tetzeh. Bayom Ahu Nikra B'Sefer Moshe B'Oznei Ha'am, ונמצא כתוב בו אשר לא יבוא עמוני ומואבי בקהל האלוקים עד עולם. On that day, the book of Moshe was read in the ears of the people, and it was found written therein that an Ammonite or and a Moabite may not enter the congregation of God forever. כי לא קידמו את בני ישראל בלחם ובמים, ויסגור עליו את בלעם לקללו, ויהפוך אלוקינו הקללה לברכה. For they did not come forward to meet the children of Israel with bread and water, but hired Balaam against them to curse him. But our God turned the curse into a blessing. The choice to recite this specific passage highlights the issue of intermarriage at this time. There is an interesting debate as to when this ceremony took place and what is meant by Yom Hahu, on that day, the opening words of the Perek. According to Mitzudat David, these psukim are a continuation from the last Perek and were part of the dedication of the walls with the signing of the Amanah. Leaving their non-Jewish wives was part of their commitment to no longer intermarry at that time. Malvim disagrees and asserts that this took place 13 years later when Nehemiah returned to Yerushalayim after having been summoned back to Persia by the king for 1 year. He organized this public reading after finally expelling his adversary Tovia the Ammonite, whose inhospitable ancestors are mentioned specifically in this Torah reading, as we shall soon see. Immediately after hearing these psukim, all the Jews who had been married to non-Jews separated from their spouses. Perhaps this is an argument for Mitzudat David's chronology that it took place in Nehemiah's first year, as it sounds very similar to Perek Tet prior to signing the Amana, and it would be very depressing to think about how quickly the community lapsed without Nehemiah's oversight. On the other hand, they clearly reverted back to pre-Nehemiah behaviors and neglected their Amana commitments on many other issues in the time he was back in Persia, as will be clear in the continuation of this Perek. On a side note, Malbim notes that even though the Gemara mentions in Masechet Brachot that the ethnicity of the original Moabites and Ammonites had been confused by the forced exiles of all the people conquered by Sanherib and Nebuchadnezzar, there were some who could still trace their exact lineage and would fall under the biblical prohibition from Devarim above. Psukim Dalet and Hey refer to the events that led up to this public reading. V'lifnei mizeh el yashiv hakohen natun b'lishkat beit Elokeinu karov l'tovia. Now prior to this, el yashiv the priest, who was appointed to the chamber of the temple of our God, was a kinsman of Tovia. V'yas lo lishka gedola v'sham hayu lefanim notnim et hamincha halvona v'hakelim ma'asar hadagan v'hatirash v'hayitzar mitzvat halvim v'hamishorim v'hashorim utrumat hakohenim. And he made him a large chamber. And in previous times, they would put there the meal offering, the frankincense, and the vessels, and the tithe of the corn, the wine, and the oil, which were ordained for the Levites, and the singers, and the gate sentries, and the heave offerings of the priests. This is a real indictment of Eliashiv. If you remember, Eliashiv was mentioned as the first of those who were involved in building the walls in Perek Gimel. How disappointing to discover that not only was Eliashiv related to Tovia the Ammonite through marriage, or shall we say intermarriage, but he also handed him an office in the Beit HaMikdash. This office seemed to displace and discontinue the mitzvot of certain korbanot and also Truma and Masar for the Kohanim and Levim, another Amana commitment. Hearing from afar about Tovia, Nehemiah requests leave once again from the king after having returned only 1 year prior. Immediately upon his arrival in Yerushalayim, Nehemiah casts Tovia out of the room. This is described in Psukim Zayin and Chet. Va'avol Yerushalayim va'avina bara asher asal yashiv l'tovia la'asot lo nishka b'chatzrei beit ha'elokim. Va'yira li me'od va'ashlicha et kol klei beit Tovia ha'chutz min ha'lishka. And I came to Yerushalayim and I pondered the evil that Eliashiv had done in the matter of Tovia. by making him a chamber in the courts of the temple of God. And I was very distressed, and I cast all the vessels of Tobiah's house out of the chamber. Nehemiah then restored the vessels, frankincense, and mincha back to the room. However, there was no truma or miser to be found. With this terrible discovery, Pasuk Yod states, Veda ki manayot halavim lo nitna v'yavrechu ish l'sadehu halavim v'amishorim osei hamelecha. And I knew that the portions due the Levites had not been given, and the Levites and the singers who did the work fled each one to his field. Mitzudat David explains that since the Levim could not depend on the support the Torah commanded the community to supply, they fled to work and farm their own fields to feed themselves, essentially abandoning their service of singing and guarding in the Beit HaMikdash. Nehemiah then set out to correct the wrongs being committed against the Levim by restoring Miser and Truma. In Perek Yudalef, he lashes out at the prefects and restored them to their places in the Beit HaMikdash so that the people could bring their Miser directly to the temple. He had already instituted that Truma for the Kohanim be brought to the temple in the Amana in Perek Yud. He now mandated the Miser for the Levim be brought as well so it could be centralized and properly distributed. To their credit, the population responded appropriately, as recounted in Pasuk Yud Bet. V'chol Yehuda heviu Miser ha-dagan v'atirash v'ha-yitzar le'otzarot. And all of Yehuda brought the tithes of the corn and the wine and the oil to the treasuries. Nehemiah then appointed trusted overseers to ensure the continued observance of this important mitzvah. Having accomplished this necessary task, Nehemiah pleads to Hashem in Pasuk Yod Dalet, Zachra li Elokai al zot ve'al tamach chasadai asher asiti bevet Elokai uvemishmarav. Remember me, my God, concerning this, and do not erase my good deeds that I did in the temple of my God and with its watches. The first time Nehemiah asked Hashem to remember him for the good was in Perek Hey. This is the first of three times we will see his request in our final Perek of the Sefer. This is the basis for what we mentioned in the introduction to Nehemiah, that until around the advent of the printing press, the Sefer was considered a continuation of Ezra and was not named Nehemiah as a punishment for his hubris. Nehemiah's next mitzvah to tackle was Shabbat observance. Psukim Tetvav and Tetzayin describe the scene. Bayamim ha'hem ha'ra'iti b'Yehuda dorchim gitot b'Shabbat u'mivim ha'arimot ve'omsim al ha'chamorim ve'af yayin anavim u'teinim v'chol ma'asa mivim Yerushalayim b'yom ha'Shabbat v'aid b'yom machram tzayid. In those days I saw in Judah people treading wine presses on the Sabbath and bringing stacks of grain and loading them on donkeys, and also wine, grapes, and figs, and all types of loads, and bringing them to Jerusalem on the Sabbath day. And I warned them on the day they sold provisions. V'hatzorim yashvuba mivim dag v'kol mecher u'mochrim b'Shabbat livnei Yehuda v'Yerushalayim. And the Tyrians who sojourned there were bringing fish and all types of merchandise and selling on the Sabbath to the people of Judea and in Jerusalem. Nehemiah rectifies these Shabbat transgressions by commanding the gates to the city be closed and locked well before Shabbat began, and he threatened those merchants who camped out outside the gates. He completed his restoration of the sanctity of Shabbat in Yerushalayim in Pasuk Chaf Bet, where he once again beseeched Hashem to remember him. V'omra l'levim asher yu metarim uvayim shomrim ha-shoarim l'kadesh et yom ha-shabbat. Gam zot zachar li elokai v'chusa alai kerov chasdecha. And I commanded the Levites that the watchers of the walls should purify themselves and come to hallow the Sabbath day. This too remember for me, my God, and have pity on me according to your abundant loving kindness. Next on the list of transgressions was a deeper, more direct approach to the intermarriage issue and its consequences as manifested in the children of these unions, which he describes in Pasuk Chaf Dalet. Uvnehem chatzi medaber ashdodit, ve'enam makirim ledaber yehudit, v'chil lashon am ve'am. And half their children were speaking Ashdodite, and they did not know how to speak Hebrew. And so it was with the language of every people. Rambam, in Hilchot Tfilah and Nisiat Kapayim, quotes the above pasuk in explaining the formation of the Amidah. He says in Perek Aleph, Halacha Dalet, quoting from our pasuk, rather they would speak according to the language of various other peoples. Consequently, when someone would pray, he would be limited in his ability to request his needs or to praise the Holy One, blessed be he, in Hebrew, unless other languages were mixed in with it. When Ezra and his court saw this, they established 18 blessings in sequence. He then chastised those guilty of intermarriage both verbally and physically, invoking the sin of Shlomo HaMelech and his many wives in Pasuk Chafav. Halo al eilech ata Shlomo Melech Yisrael v'goyim harabim, lo haya melech kamohu v'ahuv l'elokav haya, v'idnehu elokim melech al kol Yisrael gam oto hechtiu hanashim hanochriot. Did not Shlomo the king of Israel sin with these, although there was no king like him among the great nations beloved by his God, who appointed him over all Israel? The foreign women even caused him to sin. Malbim explains that those who intermarried rationalized to themselves that their children would not turn away as the Torah in Devarim, Perek Zayin, Pasukim Gimel through Dalet warns, for he will turn away your son from following me, and they will worship the gods of others, and the wrath of the Lord shall be kindled against you, and he will quickly destroy you. He invokes Shlomo, who made a similar rationalization in the amount of wives he took. The Gemara in Sanhedrin 21b addresses this exact issue. And Rabbi Yitzchak says, for what reason were the rationales of Torah commandments not revealed? It was because the rationales of two verses were revealed, and the greatest in the world, King Solomon, failed in those matters. It is written with regard to a king, he shall not add many wives for himself, that his heart should not turn away. Deuteronomy 17:17. Solomon said, I will add many, but I will not turn away, as he thought that it is permitted to have many wives if one is otherwise meticulous not to stray. And later it is written, for it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. 1 Kings 11:4. It seems no one, not even the sons of the Kohen Gadol, can escape Nehemiah's enforcement of this decree. We read in Pasuk Chafchat, Mibnei Yehoyada ben Eliashiv, HaKohen HaGadol Chatan L'San Velat HaKorani Ve'Avrichehu Me'alai. And one of the sons of Yehoyada, the son of Eliashiv, the high priest, was the son-in-law of Sanballat the Horonite, and I drove him away from me. In contrast to asking Hashem to remember him for good, in Pasuk Chavtet, Nehemiah asked Hashem remember the defilements of those Kohanim who intermarried. Zachra lehem Elokai al goale hakehuna ubrit hakehuna ve'levim. Remember them, my God, that they defiled the priesthood and the covenant of the priesthood and of the Levites. Nehemiah concludes his sefer with his final request for Hashem to remember him. This time, he specifies two different enactments from the Amana, the restoration of Bikurim and the establishment of the appointed times of the wood offering, where different families were given responsibility to provide the wood for the korbanot at specific times throughout the year. Ula korban ha'etzim ve'etim mezumanot v'la bikurim zachrali elokai l'tova. And concerning the wood offering at appointing times, and concerning the first fruits, remember for me, my God, favorably. As we finish what can be described as Nehemiah's memoir of a very specific time in his life, we are left with many questions. The book only encompasses 13 years of Nehemiah's life, and he only tells us the details of the first and final years of that period. Did his takanot last after the second time he admonished them when he returned? Did he spend his remaining days leading the community in Eretz Yisrael, or was he again summoned by the king to return to Persia? While we can't answer these and many other questions, we can still appreciate Nehemiah as a man who, despite a very successful life in Galut, exile, heard the call of his brethren and left the comforts of his home to utilize his skill set to strengthen the Jewish community in Israel. His example forces us to ask the question how we can contribute to strengthening the Jewish community wherever we live, and especially in Eretz Yisrael. May we all merit to contribute to the greatness of our people, especially as we anticipate Mashiach and our return to the restored and peaceful land of Israel. This shiur is dedicated Lezecher Nishmas Marcy Stern, Mincha Yehudas Bas Gedalyahu. She was a dedicated teacher whose deep love of the Sifrei Nevi'im and Shivas Tzion left an indelible mark on her many students.